Hi, this is Brendan Davis from Bedrock Games and the Bedrock Blog, and today I'm going to do a Q&A again. I'm going to answer the question, what five movies are essential viewing for Wandering Heroes of Aldergate? That's a really tough question. I don't think I can distill a list of five movies that are essential. The game covers a lot of ground, so I just don't know that I can pick five movies that cover all that. Also, I have a hard time with these kind of lists. We did one in Righteous Blood, Ruthless Blades that I thought was very good, but that one's focused more on sort of pure wuxia and particularly Gulong-inspired wuxia. So, you know, I would recommend people check out that list, number one, if they're looking for a solid wuxia list, because Jeremy and I talked a lot about that list and debated what should be on there. And I think we came up with one that covers a lot of ground and a lot of a wide time frame and just gives you a good overview of the genre if you're GMing it for the first time. But that said, I'll try to do what I can here. I'm gonna make some adjustments to the concept. I don't think I can come up with a five essential list, but I can come up with, and I'm gonna limit myself to classic Shaw Brother movies, just so I'm not fighting with myself over whether I should include Dragon Inn or Bride with White Hair, all these other things that I'd want to include. So I'm going to strictly limit myself to Shaw Brothers, and it's going to be a five very gameable and relevant to Aldergate list. So five movies that I think if you watch them, they'll help prepare you for Wandering Heroes of Aldergate. These are not necessarily my five favorite movies. A lot of my favorites are on here, but this is more about the gameability and how they relate to thinking about wuxia campaigns, and particularly wuxia campaigns for Wandering Heroes of Aldergate. One thing this list is probably going to lack, though, is some of the stronger supernatural elements that are a part of Aldergate, so just keep that in mind there. I'll maybe talk a little bit at the end of this about that. But the first movie I would recommend is Killer Clans. I recommend that in every book I write. It's just been super influential. I like the film. It's a Cho Yuen film. Let me see what year it came out. 1976. There's a lot of 1976 movies, I think, on this list. But it came out in 1976. It's about an assassin who was an orphan raised in a brothel, and the madam of the brothel sends him on missions. And the mission in this movie is to go to the Lung Men Society and kill the leader. And he's got to do this all sort of against the backdrop of a sect war between the Lung Men Society and the Rock Society. And he tries to get the leader's trust first, and the leader of the Lung Men Society is played by Ko Fung. There's a lot more to the movie than that. It gets into very interesting themes. There's a love story. There's this interesting drunken assassin who kind of gives the film a vibe the whole way through. And the woman who plays Lady Cao is just so vicious. I really like this movie. I can't recommend it enough. And I think the sect war thing is what I would really draw people's attention to for emulation. Also, just sort of how the society is structured and things like that. The next movie would be 14 Amazons. This is a 1972 film. It's directed by Chen King. And it's basically about the Yang women going to get revenge for the death of General Yang against the Western Jia. It's a little bit more of a military vibe. It's not like a full-blown war movie or anything, but it's not quite the same as some of the other movies on this list where it's more about individuals or organizations. There's actually governments involved here, so it's a little bit different. But it's a great movie. Ivy Ling Po is the star. There's other women in the film too that are also very important, but I always when I think of 14 Amazons, I always picture Ivy Ling Po in this great costume. I don't think I've seen too many that have the look of this since then, but I've always really loved the costuming in 14 Amazons. Costuming in wuxia is really, I don't think this has huge implications for an RPG, but the costuming in wuxia is always so important, and this movie is the one that I always go-to in my head if I'm thinking what's my favorite sort of aesthetic in terms of the costumes that that I've seen in a film. But it's a great movie. It's kind of got all, you know, little elements of adventure, but a lot of elements of you know, politics and war too. I you know, and it's and the battle scenes are all great. And again, it's all it's about the women going and getting revenge. So it's you know, it's got a huge cast of women in it. Yeah, I would recommend this film. I would recommend it, number one, because Haiping Sect takes a lot of inspiration from 14 Amazons. But also, I think it gives you another element to consider in your Wuxia campaign that might not be as present in some of the other movies. And another style of Wuxia, you know, again, we can quibble over whether we would call this a Wuxia movie or not. But for the purposes of this list, I'm going to include it. And also it's set during the Song Dynasty. So that's another really important reason why I'd recommend it. The next movie, which I recommend without hesitation, is The Kid with the Golden Arm. Now, this is a 1979 Chang Cheh film. And I don't know if it's a proper Venom Mob movie or not, but it's definitely got a lot of the Venom Mob in it. And Lo Mung plays the Kid with the Golden Arm, and he's just outstanding in this film. It's the perfect role for him. Again, I don't know if I mentioned, but it's a Chang Cheh film. And it's all about an escort mission, which is that's super important to the Wuxia genre. If you're going to run a Wuxia campaign, you really want to know about escort missions in the Wuxia genre. And there's, this reference will come up in one of the other movies, but it's something that is a very important plot point in Heaven Sword Dragon Saber involving an escort mission, or I guess a failed escort mission. This movie is, the whole thing is the escort mission. And I think that it's also a movie, you can watch it, and it might not be as good for, like, say, it could crop up in a sandbox, but it's not like, this is definitely a little bit more of like, there's a clear adventure here that you could make based on the film. The next movie would be Lady Hermit. I've recommended Lady Hermit a bunch of times. That's a Ho Ming Hwa movie. Ho Ming Hwa is great. In fact, let me look at his list of movies so I can remember which ones were ones that I really wanted to mention to people. I mean, he's got kind of a broad range, but I like his storytelling, number one. I think on the blog, I've probably done Lady Steel, The Jade Raksha. He did The Flying Guillotine, which is a great movie. Black Magic is outside of genre, but that's another one that I really like. Vengeful Beauty was a really good movie that he did. And again, these are not movies I'm recommending for the top five list. I'm just I just wanted to give a sense of Ho Meng Hua's range here. He did Monkey Goes West and a bunch of the other Journey to the West movies, which are really interesting. I would definitely recommend those to people too. But Ho Meng Hua, you know, he directed it. Cheng Pei Pei stars in it. Shih Tzu stars in it. Lo Lie stars in it. There's kind of a love triangle element. And, you know, one reason I love it is Cheng Pei Pei. It's one of her best performances. She's, I think, at the top of her game in this one in terms of her physical performance. And the story is really well done. The villain is great. And the reason I recommend it for a GM is because the whole plot is about her having had this confrontation with a guy named Black Demon. I think in some versions, like Black Claw Demon, but Black Demon. And he's this really terrifying villain with sharp black claws on the end of his hands. And he used his claw technique and injured her. And she kind of has this, lingering injury. And so she's getting nursed back to health, and all the while trying to come up with a way to work around his style to attack him. So she's trying to come up with like a counter or a style that is going to, work around the threat that he poses. And I think that's a really important concept in a Wuxia campaign, especially in Ogre Gate. That's kind of how the game is designed. So this movie is a very good example of that. And it's interesting because in this movie, she develops a style kind of rooted around something observed from a cat doing. And there's a Jackie Chan movie that's a little bit similar, but that's purely done for laughs, called Snake in the Eagle's Shadow, where he kind of develops a cat style also in a similar way. And I think he's fighting against Eagle Claw people, but similar type of concept. the, you know, again, really good movie. You know, this is one that you should just watch either way. And the next one is Web of Death. And I think Web of Death, not only is it a great movie on this list for, you know, just rounding it out, but if I had to just pick one movie, it might be Web of Death, because it has so much gonzo stuff in it. It's got a lot of the things that I talk about when I say things like, you know, wuxia as a genre has dungeons in it. And it also has a lot of just really over the top, very gameable ideas, like this supreme weapon that's based on a massive spider. Like, it's an actual spider held inside of a device. And when it's unleashed on you, it's not clear how they control the spider, but when it's unleashed, it just devastates your enemies and there's almost nothing they can do. And, you know, I believe, if I remember, the villain is played by Lollier, and he's a member of this, this evil Venom sect. And, you know, he wants to take it over by using that weapon against their enemies. And so it's, and also the movie is interesting because it draws elements from Heaven Sword and Dragon Saber, like a little, like kind of a stray plot, and like another stray plot from, Legend of Condor Heroes. And, but it does something totally new with it. It's really interesting. And so you can kind of see some of those echoes from that story, but they're not telling that story. So I really like the movie. It's got this incredible dungeon in it. It's actually got more than one dungeon. It's because the evil sect in it has this really elaborate, like, underground complex that's very interesting. But there's a legit tomb that's trapped, and you know, you could easily transport into any fantasy game, but into a wuxia campaign it would work really well. Everybody I've shown Web of Death to, and Web of Death is another Choi Yuen movie, 1976. Everybody I've shown this movie to thinks it's wonderful. I've never had a complaint about it. It's very similar to The Kid with the Golden Arm. And I think every GM I've ever shown it to, their head instantly lights up with ideas. It's just that kind of movie. And also it's got like, it's got Wu-Tang Clan in it and all that. So, you know, again, it's, you know, it is a drawing on elements from Heaven Sword, Dragon Saber and stuff. So, I really like this movie. I think that would be, you know, those five films, Killer Clans, 14 Amazons, Kid with the Golden Arm, Web of Death and Lady Hermit. Those would be very gameable, good, you know, a good sort of a good list of five films to watch if you're thinking of running Ogre Gate. What I would add, though, is that, you know, Ogre Gate has a lot of supernatural elements. So, you know, you might want to go out and check, you know, some films that are a little bit more out there in that respect. And I'll mention some that are maybe more recent, but like Journey to the West, Conquering the Demons, or Green Snake, you know, movies that get more into that territory. Obviously, A Chinese Ghost Story was influential. But yeah, so that would be my list. I hope it's helpful. I think also, I just want to mention, I think when you're trying to, like, there's two different types of GMs that I usually run into with Ogre Gate. There's GMs who are already fans of wuxia. They have their own ideas about wuxia, what wuxia is. They know what kind of wuxia campaign they want. They probably don't need any guidance from me with movies. In fact, it would probably just be an irritation for me to tell them what movies I think they should watch or why those movies are interesting. They're probably furious listening to this list of five movies. Just because every GM, like, I'm the same way. Every GM who's into wuxia and is running wuxia campaigns, we have our own ideas about what makes wuxia wuxia. And so if you're new to the genre, or if you're new to running it in a campaign sense, I think one thing that you'll find is that once you start watching movies, the genre is going to make sense to you in a particular way. Certain things are going to resonate with you, and that's what you're going to want to emulate at your game table. So, you know, you'll eventually go on a different path there. But I think that with viewing stuff in general and reading books in general, it is really important if you want to have a wide vocabulary when you're running a game, to watch a lot of these films. I don't think, I think I'm always sort of reluctant to say that because I feel like there's a thing that can happen in gaming, and especially around Wuxia, but and also other subgenres where I think people feel a little bit intimidated because there's people that have been fans of it longer than them, and they feel like they don't know enough. And it's it, so I think you should go ahead and run a Wuxia campaign, whether you've seen one or 20 Wuxia films or 100, whatever. Because I think the only way is to sort of go in feet first and, you know, just figure it out. But I think while you're doing that, trying to watch as much Wuxia as you can, especially foundational stuff, will be helpful. And the reason why is you want to develop a vocabulary that's drawing from the genre. That's all. You know, you don't have to watch like a million of them, but you know, do try to watch more than, you know, the big ones that are known, you know. So like, you know, like, I mean, obviously everybody knows Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. A lot of people know Hero. I'm trying to think of some of the other ones. There's, you know, there's a good handful that are really, really well known. And there's nothing wrong with those movies. They're all good movies. But I think the mistake that can be made is if you've seen Hero and that's like your point of reference, Hero's a very narrow vision into what Wuxia can be. It's a good Wuxia movie. It's not my favorite, but it's a good Wuxia movie. Something like Wandering Heroes of Orgate isn't set anywhere near a time period like that. So, and it's not anywhere near that style of Wuxia. So I think, again, you know, you want to go back and watch some of the sort of the 60s and 70s Shaw brothers and watch, you know, a lot of the 80s and 90s Wuxia. And, you know, the newer stuff is, in my opinion, the stuff after, you know, 1997, early 2000s is not as good, but there are some gems in that period too. Like Reign of Assassins, I think, is a great movie. Swordmaster is a great movie. Wuxia with Donnie Yen, sometimes called Dragon, is a great movie. There are definitely movies that are really good, you know, from that period. I don't know if I would qualify this as Wuxia or not, but Ip Man, the Ip Man movies, I love those. But the earlier movies are definitely, in my opinion, you know, I think they're better. I like the earlier movies. The 90s is a very, I don't know, 90s Wuxia is really great. You know, so, you know, watch as much of the stuff as you can. And the other thing I would recommend too is once you find a movie that you like, make a note of who the director is and start watching that director's movie. That was the thing that really helped me navigate things when I was, you know, just kind of going through movies and finding out which ones I liked. That, and I had a list in the Hong Kong Action Theater, the original edition. There's a list of movies and I used that. I think the second edition also has a list. I don't know if they're identical though. You can find all these different kinds of. I got one in the Wandering Heroes of Watergate book, but stuff like Come Drink With Me, One Armed Swordsman, Dragon Inn, A Touch of Zen, you know, these classic movies, Magic Blade, you know, Intimate Confessions of a Chinese Courtesan, Bride with White Hair, the Swordsman series, especially Swordsman 2, Tai Chi Master, you know, stuff like that. I'm not trying to overload people, but. I think that the more you, one thing I will warn against, don't, you know, you watch these movies, but don't watch like every day, watch Wuxia all the time. I've done that. And what happens is you feel like you've eaten too much candy. Just watch it because you like it and you want to be inspired by it. If it becomes a grind, don't do it. And also, in terms of advice for finding these movies, because I know that's hard now. It used to be like, back in the day, I was mostly relying on places like Blockbuster. You'd occasionally go into Chinatown or something. And Blockbuster, at least where I lived, had a surprising number of movies like this. I was able to get The Bride with White Hair there at one point, I remember. There were a number of other films. I think that's also... I can't remember I think I might have bought Swordsman 2 at like Suncoast Video or something, but I might have seen it at Blockbuster as well. But the point is that, you know, you used to used to go to, like, we would go to Suncoast, we'd go to Chinatown, or we'd go to Blockbuster Video or some other local video store. Now the streaming services, and back when streaming first started, it was actually good because they had like everything on there. You could go on Amazon and watch like every Shaw Brothers movies, almost, it seemed. And even Netflix had a ton of it too. And that kind of got whittled down over time. I remember Netflix had like, Flying Swords of Dragon Gate Inn, all these movies. Yeah, I remember seeing Five Elemental Ninja on there. So now it's harder. So I understand that it's somewhat limited. One thing you can do is you can always look on YouTube, because there are channels that legitimately show this stuff, like the Wu-Tang channel. I don't know if they have a whole lot of Shaw Brothers, but they got a lot of stuff on there. You can go on, if you have Amazon, check it out. There might be some that are free or free with ads. If you really want to see a movie, you might be able to rent it for a couple of bucks. But I mean, it's honestly kind of hard now, so I don't blame people if they are having, you know, they didn't want to spend the money or whatever. You know, I've also been going back to buying more physical media with Wuxia because of how rapidly streaming services changed. I still have a vast library of like, I think nearly 500 movies at this point. I know it's over 300. I haven't really counted it recently. It's a very obnoxious amount of movies. I had to put them into a big folder because they took up too much space. And I've been kind of annoying my wife by going back to buying more physical media, because I got tired of movies disappearing from places like Amazon or whatever. And even if you had a movie, sometimes you'd get a different transfer, even if you own it. It was just very obnoxious. That's the other thing, is the transfers on Amazon can be very iffy. Like, a movie that I would love to recommend is Wing Chun, but the Wing Chun up on Amazon is horrible. It's like, the frame rate is all messed up too. It's really terrible. It takes a great film and just levels it because of the version they have up there. If you can get a physical version of that movie, that's legit, it's good. But yeah, so I get that it's difficult now, and you might not be able to see all these movies. I think Killer Clans, you know what? Let me look. I know this is sort of like a real weird way to wind down a video, but let me, or a podcast, but let me look on Amazon and see which ones of these are more readily available. Some might, okay, so Killer Clans is available to rent. It also, okay, so there's a free version, but that might be, I might own a digital version, so that might be why. So if you go into Prime on Amazon, you can definitely rent Killer Clans for $1.99, and you can buy it for $4, or you can maybe see it for free. I don't know. It might be different for people. Also, I don't know if this is going to be different overseas, so keep that in mind too. 14 Amazons is available to rent for $2, and available to buy for $4, so same deal. Kid with the Golden Arm, let's see what that looks like. That's not even coming up, unfortunately, which is surprising to me. I'm sure it's somewhere, but okay, that one might be a hard one to find now. That's a great movie too, so I hope it's readily available somewhere. Web of Death has got to be on Amazon. I'd be surprised if it's not. It looks like it is, but again, I know I own a digital copy of that. I have like two. I have the Blu-ray and the DVD too, but it looks like there's two different versions, so I'm guessing one is available. It looks like it's free, but I don't know. So, there's probably one that's available to rent, because that's probably one I own. But the thing is, if I buy a digital copy and then it comes off there, I'll still have the digital copy. It'll show up in a search, but it might not show up for you. So that might be one that you'd have to double check on. And then Lady Hermit, let's hope they have this one there. That one's available to rent, so that's good to know. So that's $2 to rent. It's $5.99 to buy, but great movie. So that would be my list. I'm sorry if I meandered a lot. I'm a little under weather today. I'll be back on next time to talk about Karma. I think I still owe an episode on Karma, but until next time, I will talk to you later.